Listen. Think. Learn. Grow. Listen. Think. Learn. Grow. Live. Live. Live.
This is Metaphysical Universe, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Douglas Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Hello and welcome to the Spirit of Life program for Wednesday, January 18th, 2017. My name is Dr. Doug Kelly, here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening, glad to be here.
And of course, Michael Kelly here too, producing the show and participating here and there.
Good evening, everyone. Happy New Year. Again.
Yeah, again, I'd like to welcome everyone to the program tonight, those who are listening to the live program as well as those listening to the archives. We appreciate your time. The Spirit of Life is a weekly service and educational program of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit as well as to explore science and spirituality. And in addition to this weekly service, we also operate a couple of schools and some other educational programs. EmpoweredRecovery.com is a site that offers help for the friends and family of alcoholics and addicts. Paranexus.org is an association of anomalous researchers. MetaphysicsInstitute.org offers bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees in metaphysical topics. And Thomas Francis University at TFUniversity.org offers standalone courses, degrees, and diplomas. I'd like to read our abbreviated principles of belief as customary for this program. There are nine of them. The first one is do no harm, do right. Two, we believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit. The answers we seek already exist within us. Number three, we believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems. Four, we are all equal, one planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. Five, we recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. Six, we are physical and spiritual beings. Consciousness survives death of the physical body. 7. Self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will creates self-completeness. 8. Metaphysical education and practical life skills empower the human spirit and enhance the human condition. And 9. Expanding human consciousness leads to human evolution and peaceful coexistence. To read the full version of these principles of belief, please visit metaphysicalhumanism.org. So tonight, again, welcome to those who are listening live. It's good to see somebody in the chat room. I also wanted to say that last week we were having a little problem with volume, but I think we've figured it out. We switched to a different computer and it was giving us some challenges, but I think we've got it set. So hopefully the volumes are back to where they should be for those listening live. I had to correct the archive version to raise up the volume so it was actually listenable. Is that a word? Listenable? I don't have time to look it up. Anyway, let's talk about a couple of things. And by the way, if you have a topic, those listening to this live program, if you have a topic you'd like discussed, put it in the chat room. If you have a question, put it in the chat room. We'll be happy to address it here on the program. We won't use your full name. We'll just use your full name, street address, phone number, and social security number. Just kidding. Not really,
all
though.
That
yeah.
Stuff.
Yeah. Okay. So, let's talk. A few days ago, one of my students, who we will call Melissa, because, well, that's her name, she wrote something rather interesting in one of her assignments. She's very sharp. And let me just read what she wrote, because it kind of opens up an interesting discussion on human nature. It's not very long. I'll read it here. She writes, the Christian idea that humans are inherently sinful has really made its way into the secular idea that things like envy, greed, vindictiveness, etc. are human nature, that is, natural to the human condition. Yet how can vices be inherent while virtues learned? Why is a person with a naturally virtuous temperament considered a saint, as if such a temperament were a rare thing? Instead, I believe that vices are learned while virtue is inherent. All you have to do is look in the eyes of a little child to see that this is true. So, you know, there's different ways of looking at that, too, but I'm with her. I like the optimistic view, you know, that people are inherently decent, and I think that that's true. People are inherently decent, and we've talked about this before. Many people just lack awareness. They don't know that they're being inconsiderate or unthoughtful or not very nice at times. They just don't. They just don't have a level of awareness. And as we grow and experience and evolve spiritually, we gain that level of awareness that allows us to be more amicable, more kind. And, you know, so that's, it's an interesting thing. And I agree with her, you know, that Christianity and other religions have basically vilified the human being. They've put people down. They've disempowered people. You're not perfect. You're sinful. You need to be ransomed due to no fault of your own. You know, you're a sinner. It's a put down. It's a constant put down. You know, you're never good enough. You know, you're never good enough in the eyes of the Lord or who the heck ever. And that's something that we reject. We don't do sin at ICMH Church. We don't believe in it. There is no such thing. It's just ridiculous. People are perfect the way they are, you know. And another related term to this is flawed. You know, a lot of us say, well, I have my flaws. Or, you know, I've been flawed. And I don't buy into that either. I'm tired of that too. You know, I don't have flaws. I have things I need to work on. You know, so if you're in the habit of saying you have your flaws, lose it. Get rid of it. It's disempowering. We all are who we are. We're on our path. We're learning our lessons. We're trying to do the best job we can with the experience, resources, level of awareness we have at the moment. And, you know, as long as you're striving to do no harm and be better tomorrow than you were yesterday, you're perfect. Well, what else can you be? You know, there is no such thing as a perfect person in the way that we traditionally think of perfection. You know, even Jesus, who was supposed to have been born perfect, you know, he learned carpentry, right? You telling me that the first thing he touched, he did perfectly? I don't think so. That just doesn't stand to reason. You got to learn this stuff. Even the Bible says he learned, you know, what, obedience? It's been so long. I'm actually proud of that. I can't remember half of it anymore, which is good. But, you know, he learned. So not everything's perfect. So this idea of a perfect individual in the traditional sense is just it's a fantasy. It's not real. We're perfect the way that we are. So any thoughts, Dr. Hunter?
Well, I look at perfection from a different perspective. We're perfect in the way of cause and effect. You know, it's whatever we... However we behave, what decisions we make, that will have an effect. And there's a perfection in that, even though we like to not want to take ownership, maybe. So, you know, I like going back to the comment in that letter about looking into the eyes of a child. See, I'd like to go the other way for a minute and say, I've met kids I don't like, much like I've met people I don't like. But there's all potential. See, and that's the potential. When you're guiding a child or, you know, interacting with anybody else, it's how we interact with them, how we guide kids, how we nurture their strengths and, you know, continue to, you know, I love the word navigate. You know, we're all navigating our way through life.
Yeah.
So it's how we... experiment. We're experimenting with ourselves. We're experimenting with interaction. And everything right now is a perfect result of what's been put into this moment. So it's that cause and effect, action, reaction. And in that, there's that law of physics. There is that perfection in it. But again, if we continue to reject what's obvious, then, you know, it kind of goes into a different kind of perfection. So that's how I look at perfection. I long past the notion of I have to go through Jesus to get to some kind of God. So in the sinning and that kind of nonsense. But I think that each of us, even errors or so-called mistakes, have its own perfection.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, again, back to that cause and effect. It's a natural law. You know, and so by nature's laws, how we behave will cause results.
Yeah.
Perfect results.
And what else can we be? You know, we can't be anything other than ourselves. And I also agree that we, I mean, there's the philosophical or scientific premise of tabula rasa, which is a blank state. You know, we're born tabula rasa. And people can go any direction that they choose. Obviously there's the, you know, nature via nurture type of thing. We're a product of our environment as well as our genes. But in the end, we all have the decision. We all have the final say as to what we will be and how we will behave and how we will act. And as we grow in awareness and spirituality, spiritual enlightenment, spiritual evolution, growth, we understand that doing no harm and doing right is a higher calling. It's just more enlightened. It's better. It's higher. It's a higher level of existence.
You think, though, that spiritual memory, where it's maybe not a clean slate so much as we come to the earth, a spirit joining in a body, and if you're more attuned to your spirit, then and you follow that calling versus what's in your physical environment, then that's more in tune with knowing, you know, do no harm, do right. But I think a lot of people are not necessarily, even as a child, not necessarily attuned to that sense, that will of spirit or that consciousness, that higher consciousness. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I mean, there's all of this stuff at play, and we don't even know how much is at play for sure. You know, our previous consciousness, or, you know, if you believe in reincarnation, we were around prior to this life, you know, we're carrying that. I mean, there's so much that we just don't know. That's the problem. We just don't know. And I wish we did know, you know, I wish we knew more about the reality of reality. And then we would, I mean, and just, that goes into, that opens a big old can of worms, you know.
I like worms.
Yeah, good for you.
It's a good discussion. You know, it just brings to mind, it was my granddaughter's birthday yesterday, and the kids were off playing, and I was sitting talking to my daughter and son-in-law, and we were remembering, you know, of course, it's a birthday, and gee, look, 9 years passed. And we're talking about my granddaughter when she was right up to the age of about 3, would have these outbursts of fear. And they're chasing me. And she'd tell a story about, you know, going to the hospital. And it was right out of nowhere. And these kids were not exposed to television. These kids were not exposed to computers and all that when they were, you know, until, because that's the way they are. They're kind of, you know, earthbound hippie folk. And that's a good thing. And so what my daughter would do is take the baby and put her in front of a mirror and say, in this life, you're a Maya. In this life, see, you're looking at a Maya. And she would immediately calm down. It's fascinating.
It is.
And, you know, stories of my second daughter in particular, when she was little, she'd have nightmares. And she would tell me about, they tied me up and there's fire and there's men on horses. And up until she was about 8 or 9, I would do small bits of past life regression with her, or hypnosis, whatever was appropriate. I don't recommend it for everybody, but to help her be more comfortable with the here and now and coming to terms with those memories. So it's really, really fascinating when there's little children who are not exposed to certain things, and that's what convinces me that they're tapped in to, well, I think of
at
on
least
the timeline.
At least to the Akashic record.
In a higher, you know, the universal connection of some kind, whether we see the timeline of past, present, future, and, you know, lifetime to lifetime, or we see a connection. So there's many, you can see it in a quantum physics level, you can see it many different ways, but there's definitely something. And I think when that happens, especially when kids are young, it's how they're directed, how they're, you know, parents. If the parents are religious, you're going to think the kid's possessed.
Right.
<You know>? And so there's so many different ways of managing these things. And I think I like to think that we're beginning and a lot more people opening up to other possibilities that are not of a dogma, you know, and confining or constricting, because that is an imperfection. Whereas opening things up, then you've got a greater potential to access all of our potential. Again, a greater perfection, if we're talking perfection.
It's a good topic. Well, since we're discussing here, we'll give a heads up. If you'd like a card pulled from the Inner Oracle card deck, please put your name in the chat room. Michael, make a note of it, and we'll get to those in a minute. And if you're new to the program, Inner Oracle cards are just self-improvement cards. They have a number of topics that help us to think, to brainstorm, to look at ourselves within and to discover things about ourselves. They're a fascinating thing in themselves. You know, I love this discussion on this stuff because there's so many possibilities on what makes up consciousness, what makes up our life. And that's why we need to transcend, you know, the hatred, the wars, the tribal warfare, the strife, the always being angry at people for whatever they're pulling out in front of you or anything. You know, it's just we need to evolve, get past that. I mean, yesterday I was stopped by the store briefly and got a couple things, and I was leaving the parking lot, and you know, as I pulled up, leaving the parking lot up toward the front of the store, I turned right. Yeah, I looked, there was nobody there coming, so I turned right, and then I had to stop and wait for shoppers to, you know, cross to the front of the store, which I did. And as I was stopped there, there's this young guy, a 20-something guy, in a pickup truck, and he comes over on the to the left of me, you know, in the other lane, and he's trying to scoot by me. And there are people walking, you know, and he, once they clear, he pulls ahead of me. And, okay, you know, apparently it was more important for him to get ahead than to wait his turn. Whatever, so I followed him, you know, he went to the exit, I went to the exit, he turned right, I turned right. He went to the next street, he turned left, I turned left, and he pulled out and turned left, and he was going rather slow. So I got in the right lane, and I went, started to go behind him. There were a couple cars ahead of me, and he pulls up faster, and he won't let me in. And he's just staring at me. I'm thinking, what the heck is your problem? You know, I don't know what his problem was. I don't know what got inside him. So, you know, and then finally he turns left, and that's that. But it's like, what is that all about? And people do that kind of stuff. I don't see a lot of it on the roads, but I know it happens, and even worse. But that kind of childishness is just not for adults. And it's just, it's a part of the things that we as a species need to work on. Now, again, I'm with Melissa, the student, that I'm optimistic about people. I think that people generally, for the most part, have good intentions. They don't want to hurt others. They don't want to get involved in fights or anything. I mean, heck, in my many years of teaching experience and speaking experience on these topics, the one recurring theme that I've heard more than anything else is that from students and from seminar participants is that they don't like confrontation. That is by far the most common thing I've heard. I never hear people, oh yeah, I love to put people down. I like to get on in their face and put them down, that kind of thing. You know, I never hear that, but I hear all the time, I don't like confrontation. And most people don't like confrontation. So, anyway, just a few thoughts that I thought I would share. Anything from you, Dr. Hunter, before we move on to the cards?
Well, yeah, I'd like to share a little story that Dr. Angie shared in the chat, if that's all right. Sure. She writes, I had a reoccurring nightmare that I was kidnapped and being held at a house near my childhood home. I remember showing Mama the house. This went on from about age 4. I remember it till this day, but here's the interesting part. The house belongs to one of the grandmothers of my non-biological granddaughter. I recently found this out. So there's I think, what we call a quantum connection. You know, that somehow we're all intersected in the universe, and we're all connected energetically and otherwise. And, you know, you're talking about people in not so nice behavior and other people, you know, I think we inherently want good things, but some people just want it their way and they think that's the best way. But here's the key that to me, I like to get across is we're not going anywhere without each other. And we either find ways to negotiate through this life. But these are examples of how we're all connected. So it's to wake up and see that. It's to see that when you are harming somebody else, you're harming yourself. Or you never know where there's going to be a connection to somebody else's home. Or, you know, somebody finds out that there's, you know, some, you know, southern white guy finds out that there's, he's got black kinfolk, you know. I mean, we're all connected.
I do.
And we see, there we go. It's like one way or another, we're all connected.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the what we need to keep reminding ourselves of, even when we're facing, you know, difficult times or dark moments. So that's just my two bits worth. And I guess, yep. Who do we have up first, Michael, for cards?
Well, first up, we have Teresa.
Hi, Teresa. Nice to see you here. I'll go ahead and draw this first card for Teresa. And it says, think for yourself. And, you know, I like to think that you already do, Teresa, but sometimes we each need a little reminder. So this is just that little reminder for you. Better understanding one's own mind brings one closer to honesty and self-responsibility. Thinking for yourself prevents being swayed by the potentially unhealthy thinking of others as well as outside popular beliefs simply for popularity's sake. If you don't think for yourself, you sacrifice your identity for someone else's identity. This may be a time to exercise critical thinking in order to best determine and listen to your own truth. You know, and again, I think in light of our conversation, that's a good reminder for all of us to think for ourselves. But however you relate to that in a situation right now, somebody might be trying to convince you of something that's against your better judgment or, you know, any kind of situation that plays out like that for you, Teresa. So,
you know, and I'm going to add on to that a little bit because this is an area that a lot of students face, especially when they first start their studies in IMHS or even Thomas Francis University. You know, they're all happy. They're excited. They're excited to study this. And they'll share it with their friends and their family, and they get put down. They get, oh, you know, that's pseudoscience. That's not real. That's a diploma mill. They're scammers, you know, all the long list of derogatory things, and it's because of their ignorance. They mean well. Like I said, people don't intend to be mean. They do so out of ignorance and lack of awareness. And so that's why we address that very issue right off the bat in the first course at IMHS is essentially you think for yourself. You don't let people tell you how to walk your life or your path or live your life. Because if you follow what they say, you're no longer living your life, you're living their life. And that's just not it. And if that means the relationships die, that's what it means, folks. You know, that's just a fact of life. Relationships come and go. And if people are trying to control you and you resist that and you no longer allow yourself to be controlled by them, they're going to go away because they can no longer control you unless they, you know, get a clue and get a little bit of enlightenment themselves and stop doing that. But that's just the name of the game, and it's okay because you don't need people like that in your life trying to run it, trying to tell you how to live your life. It's not right. They're trying to assume responsibility for you, and no adult has the right to assume responsibility for another adult. So think for yourself. Don't buy in to any ignorant comments or anything that friends or family may say about what you're doing and about the life you want to live. Don't forget that have self-esteem, not them esteem. Feel good about yourself because of who you are and why you are who you are, not because you may be doing what your friends and family think you should be doing. No said. Who's next?
I'd just like to throw in that Teresa said it hits the nail on the head. That's her situation at the moment. So I'm glad that you could relate to that card. You know, these cards are pretty amazing. So who's next, Michael?
All right, next we have Heather.
All right. I got a card here. I'll just go ahead.
All right.
Truth. Truth is number 24. There are many ways to discover cosmic truth. It begins with knowing who you are and why you are who you are. I think we just talked about that. This is your truth. Discovering cosmic truth involves further discovering the truths that are often concealed within a relationship or a life situation. Yet, the only truths kept secret are those we will not see. This is a time of deep introspection to intuitively gauge the way ahead. This card may indicate that there's a truth in something or in a direction. So I hope you relate to that in some way, Heather. We always say there's something in these cards for all of us, right? But when it's picked for you, we like to believe, and it's been proven to us many times, that it resonates at some level for you. So that one's yours. It's just one of those little reminder things, and she just wrote yes in the chat room. So glad. So maybe Michael, you want to take the next one? Who's next?
Oh, I'd be happy to. I believe next we have Fran. And let's see, Fran, I have number 45, inspiration, motivation. Inspiration and motivation come from hope. Motivation means finding a meaningful reason to do something. Look within for inspiration, leading to motivation by reflecting on your goals and the life you want to live. Drive and accomplishment may be missing from your life, or your life may revolve too heavily around it. Remain balanced, inspired, and motivated with the vigor of positive energy.
Good one. Good one for Fran. Who is next on our list?
Let's see. Actually, next we have Carrie. But one thing I do want to add is just something from chat. Fran was having a tough time getting connected to the broadcast here. And so, just in kind of joking, I said, hope your connection stays strong. And then she replied, my connection will stay strong with or without electronic devices. I love that response. So I want to throw that out there. And next, I believe we have Carrie.
You go ahead. Pull a card there, Michael.
All right. Let's see. Carrie, I pulled the... This is a great one. It's wild card number 9. It's blank.
Ooh, that's a big one.
That is a
big, big message here, Carrie. Pay attention.
That's good. We don't get that very often.
No, we don't. It's a great card.
Let's see. Blank. Drawing this card puts you on notice to dig deep within for the answers you seek. This card is what you want it to be. It is what you need it to be. It is all that you desire it to be. Remember that the unconscious mind speaks to you in the quietest of voices, in the loudest of ways, often overlooked. The universe is always on your side. Dig deep, for your answers lay within.
You know, what comes to mind on that one is in the Viking runes, there's a rune that says, leap empty-handed into the void. And I love that line, and that's what this reminds me of. You know, it's a... just go for it. You know, it's you're gonna dig deep and anything you want. So it's at that. I like that cosmic intersection term too. You know, you're at that moment. If you go this way, it's that way, it's this. So there's all these variables. Follow your gut and just go for it.
That's you know, as I think about these inner oracle cards, I think we did a good job on them, Vicky.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're brilliant.
Well, you know, they took time to cultivate, and you did the bulk of the work, and but the fine-tuning and separating it and pulling it out and, you know, trying to get all the different aspects of, you know, that relate within the life leadership paragon, of course, and just trying to cover the gamut and what people might be able to relate to in their life. Mm-hmm. So I think we did too, and I like it when, you know, we, of course, I always find it interesting that we pull different cards on different nights, and then there's the continuity that seems to flow mm-hmm. with it. You know, I did a reading for somebody the other day, and who is a reader also, and had done a reading for himself that morning. Well, lo and behold, half the cards he pulled for himself that morning were cards that I laid on the table. And we used the same kind of deck, too. So, you know, we had a good chuckle about it because there's just something that channels, an energy that channels through these tools. And there's a, you know, when it's on, it's really on. It's quite fascinating. So, you know, and the Oracle cards are great. It's a great tool, especially for, you know, anyone in their studies at IMHS and so on.
Yeah. And if you want to get a deck, if you don't already have one, you can get one at metaphysicalhumanism.org. Yeah. Look for the store. You'll find them.
Anybody else in our list there, Michael?
Not that I've seen, but if I've missed anyone, definitely throw your name out in the chat. And
I've just taken a liberty. I have pulled a card, three from the left. Do we know who that's
person
for?
Person who shall remain nameless.
The third one from the left. This is for you. Invoke the counselor within.
Now he asked. For Zach.
There are times to seek advice from others as a means of summoning your own truth, but the answers you seek lie deep within. Look there. This may be a time to remind yourself to not codependently surrender your power to anyone or anything outside yourself. Always determine your own path and live according to the path that's right for you. And you have made some very big decisions in your life, Zach, and that's just I see that as an affirmation of, you know, no matter what other kinds of opinions others may have, this is your deal, and, you know, we're on your side. For people who might be tuning in for the first time in the archives or on the show, Zach is embarking on a stem cell transplant for his MS. And we're behind him 100%. Of course, I'm a big fan of Zach, so there you go. So that was for you. Zach,
I hope it goes well. Let's pull a couple, three other cards. First of all, Michael, will you pull a card for the world?
Of course.
Oh, God.
Well, let's hope it's good. No pressure. All right.
Sorry, I just found that tickle. Let's pull a card for the world. Oh, my.
All right. Okay. it's card number one, perfection.
I don't even want to go there. That is funny. See, again, it's the energy coming through, right? So.
Yeah.
Go ahead and read the card, though.
Absolutely.
It's a good reminder.
Always remember that you are perfect just as you are, a perfect work in progress.
That's
I was going to say emphasis on that. Always changing and growing. Today is a reflection of past choices, and tomorrow is changeable by choices made today. This card may indicate the situation is either perfect or not perfect for you. Embrace all mistakes as they are vital to your growth while striving for a better future. Reflect to see what contributes to your perfect journey and move forward gracefully.
Wow, that's a profound message.
Absolutely. It's incredibly profound.
It is on so many levels. And I want to just add that that coincides with the idea that we're evolving as a species. We always are. We always have been. And it may seem slow, but that's what evolution is. It's slow in terms of our terms and our timelines. But we're still getting better. We're better today than we were yesterday. And for those in the U.S. and frankly, in any other country around the world, don't let the current state of politics scare you or make you lose hope. You know,
no, you can leave the fear to Canada. We're all scared.
Yeah, that's why I included other countries. But, you know, just hold on to it, you know, let it go in terms of let go of any fear, but hold on to your hope. And things will change. They always change. That's the constant in life. Constant thing is change. And so things change. Things will pass. Everybody gets through it. You know, it's not, don't listen to the hype. Don't listen to the fear mongers. Just go about your business, living your life as best as you can. Do the best you can every day. Some days will be better than other days, but always do the best that you can and don't let anything like that get you down or discourage you or make you lose hope. All right.
And
go ahead. Sorry. If anybody else has comments, go ahead and then I'll jump in.
No, I was just going to say that someone asked me the other day if the times now were an opportunity for a reset, and I said I think we're in the reset. So So if that's my extra two bits on that one. We have the opportunity right now. We're in the reset button. So it's whatever we make it. And I encourage participation. But we always have, you know, whether it's your family, your neighbors, you know, your friends, your community, get involved. You know, it's reach out, and life is beyond the me, and it's always about the us. So,
Michael, did you have something you wanted to say?
Oh, I was actually, it kind of mirrors a lot of what Dr. Hunter said. I was going to say that I think this current state of affairs, frankly, is going to shock us into better behavior in the future. And I think that active participation on every level, just in your day-to-day life, is hugely important. I mean, the arc of history bends towards justice, but not on its own. We all participate. We all need to take a part in making the world the place we want it to be.
Agreed.
Well put. Totally. Yeah. All right. Vicki, will you pull a card for me, please?
Yes. Well, and you know what? I just shuffled, too. I put all the cards together, and
Well, good. So we're
shuffle.
All fresh, huh?
We're fresh, and I'm fanning out the cards. I'm going to the center, turning it over. Paradox. Wow.
Yeah, Doug, you're a paradox, man. What
okay.
are you going to do about that?
So do you, I was going to say, do you feel like those cards should have been reversed?
That's funny. Okay, and the wild card suit. Number one, paradox. A truth can be found in seemingly contradictory ideas. What may seem like a false proposition can be a set of new ideas and ways of thinking. Your solution may lay in the opposite direction than you think. Keep in mind that the cosmos works in equals and opposites. Not all truths lay in common opinions. This may be a time for contrarian thinking and opening your mind to what may not make sense at first, and thus new perspectives are discovered.
You know, so, I really hate it when people use my own stuff on me, and it's even worse when I use my own stuff on me.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
That's pretty apropos. All right.
Okay.
Michael, will you pull a card for me?
Absolutely. All right. Number 25, power of belief. You want to go ahead and read off there?
Yeah.
All right. Let's see. Belief is the most powerful force in the universe. One's beliefs are responsible for one's successes and failures. It's also important to realize that you cannot disbelieve in one thing without also believing in something else. Beliefs can help or hinder, enable or disable. Denial is a belief and means lying to oneself to evade responsibility. Ponder your beliefs to see if they are healthy or unhealthy. Proceed with conviction.
All right.
Well, in the paradox of things.
Yeah. I will ponder those two cards and see where they lead me. All right, well, we'll start wrapping up the program now. Tonight, we've talked about a number of things as usual, human nature, thinking for yourself. We talked about truth, inspiration, motivation, evoking the counselor within, perfection, and, of course, paradox and the power of belief. They're all deep subjects, of course. And so hopefully you gain some benefits and insight from this program. If you like it, please tell others about it. If you are not yet involved with ICMH Church or one of our schools, please visit us. Visit the church at metaphysicalhumanism.org. Visit our flagship school, Metaphysics Institute, at metaphysicsinstitute.org. And if you'd just like to take a standalone course on a metaphysical topic, there are many, visit tfuniversity.org. So we appreciate everyone's time again tonight, whether you're listening live or in the archive. Thanks to Dr. Hunter. Thanks to Michael. Appreciate you both always being here each week. And until next week, listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Good night.